A silence followed, and then Bree broke it awkwardly, tentatively, by offering Nora the last piece of buttered bread.
"I'm not hungry," Nora lied.
"You have to eat," Bree said. "The weight will disappear anyway. That's one of the great unsung benefits of breastfeeding."
"Not unsung," Nora said. "You're always singing."
Bree laughed.
"I guess I am."
"Honestly,"
Nora said, reaching for the glass of water,
"I'm glad you're here."
"Hey,"
Bree said, a little embarrassed,
"where else would I be?"
Paul's head was a warm weight, his fine thick hair soft against her neck. Did he miss his twin, Nora wondered, that vanished presence, his short life's close companion? Would he always feel a sense of loss? She stroked his head, looking out the window. Beyond the trees, faint against the sky, she glimpsed the faraway and fading sphere of the moon. Later, while Paul slept, Nora took a shower. She tried on and discarded three different outfits, skirts that bound her waist, pants that strained across the hips. She had always been petite, slender and well-proportioned, and the ungainliness of her body amazed and depressed her. Finally, in despair, she ended up in her old denim maternity jumper, gratifyingly loose, which she had sworn she'd never wear again. Dressed but barefoot, she wandered through the house, room to room. Like her body, the rooms were spilling over, wild, chaotic, out of control. Soft dust had gathered everywhere, clothes were scattered on every surface, and covers spilled from the unmade beds. There was a clean trail in the dust on the dresser where David had placed a vase of daffodils, brown already at the edges. The windows were cloudy, too. In another day, Bree would leave, and their mother would arrive. At the thought of this, Nora sat helplessly on the edge of the bed, a tie of David's hanging limply in her hands. The disorder of the house pressed on her like a weight, as if the very sunlight had taken on substance, gravity. She didn't have the energy to fight it. What was more, and more distressing, she didn't seem to care. The doorbell rang. Bree's sharp footsteps moved through the rooms, echoing. Nora recognized the voices right away. For a moment longer, she stayed where she was, feeling drained of energy, wondering how she could get Bree to send them away. But the voices came closer, near the stairwell, fading again as they entered the living room. It was the night circle from her church, bearing gifts, eager for a glimpse of the new baby. Two sets of friends had already come. One from her sewing circle, and another from her china painting club, filling the refrigerator with food, passing Paul from hand to hand like a trophy.